a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper, and happy as always to have you on board of the podcast. Hope you're having an excellent week. We're at the midway point. It's Wednesday as of this recording. Wherever you're listening to this, I greatly thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to the show, whether you're here in Utah, somewhere on the East Coast, maybe Lynchburg, Virginia, out in the area of Liberty. Thanks for stopping by and checking out this podcast. I really appreciate it so much. And if you enjoy it and want to continue listening to the podcast, make sure to subscribe, leave a rating and a review. 5 stars, preferably. It helps out the show a ton because I feel like this is the best and most in-depth and comprehensive podcast of BYU sports. Yeah, there's some others like radio shows and whatnot that go extended periods of time, but I think this is compact, the news that you need to know in about 25 to 35 minutes a day. So make sure to subscribe and leave that rating and review. And also check out KSLSports.com for all the latest in the world of BYU sports every single day, putting out articles, putting out content on the KSL Sports app as well. There's been a lot of great content I put out on KSLSports.com, and we'll talk about a lot of that here on the show today. BYU versus Liberty. Cougars going to be taking on the Independent Flames. 6-3 Liberty with a chance to get bowl eligible this weekend. You're thinking, they already got 6 wins. They should be bowl eligible. They still need one more because 2 of their 6 wins have come against teams from the FCS ranks. We'll hear from Hugh Freeze, Liberty head coach, here on the podcast and get his thoughts on the matchup with BYU and also the institutions, how they have similarities in terms of a strict honor code, faith-based institutions, so we'll get into all of that. Also, BYU basketball, they completed their season opener. Cougars got off to a hot start against Cal State Fullerton. And also, my favorite moments in BYU football history in honor of College Football 150. So sit back and enjoy. You don't want to miss any of that. But let's start off with BYU versus Liberty. 5:30 kick, 3:30 network pregame, 12 o'clock coverage. Going to start things off with Cougar Sports Saturday coming up this weekend here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. You know, it's an interesting game to me because I think this Liberty program is on the rise. You look at their weekly game notes that they have put out for this BYU game, and it's interesting to look at this program, this Liberty Flames program, because the commitment that they're putting into their football program is pretty robust. It's pretty comprehensive. It's not easy to operate an FBS football program as an independent. It's just not. It's a tough endeavor. Most programs want to avoid it at all costs. Liberty, they wanted to get into a conference like the Sun Belt or Conference USA or whatever it might be, but they weren't allowed in, and they decided, hey, we're still going to go independent, and we're going to go to the FBS ranks and do it on our own dime because they got some money. This faith-based institution, they got a lot of money to work with. They've got a football center coming up that they're going to be completing in January 2020 That's a $25 million renovation project. It's ongoing with their football center at the north end of their Williams Stadium. So it's amazing the resources that they're putting into their football program to be successful and be their version of BYU, their version of Notre Dame. What it's meant for LDS people, or Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saint people for BYU, and Catholics for Notre Dame. It's a big deal. And Hugh Freeze has brought instant recognition, I think, to that program. I mean, they're still fighting the battle for people to actually know who they are and whatnot, but Hugh Freeze brings a little bit more intrigue and interest to that program than maybe ever existed before, because he was such a prominent figure at Ole Miss and had the Rebels to heights they hadn't experienced in decades. I mean, they were a really good program. The recruiting was great. It was top-notch. Granted, some of it was a little bit sketchy, but nonetheless, he fell on a little bit of hard times, but now he's bouncing back, repairing his football career, and I think he's doing a solid job with this Liberty program that's really looking to make a statement potentially this weekend. They got a big challenge taking on BYU, but they're excited for it, and this was Hugh Freeze discussing the matchup for his program against the BYU Cougars.
It's a different ball game this week. This is a tall task, one we're excited about having, but it's a different, whole different scheme, whole different world for our defense to match the physicality of this football team. Is going to be a tall task on both sides. Kalani has done a great job there. I got to meet him this year out at the coaches' tournament and on the West Coast, and he's just a joy. He's a really joy to be around. He makes everybody laugh. He's got a great heart, a great soul, and he's passionate about coaching his kids at BYU, and they play like that. They are big and very physical offensive and defensive lines that will test us for sure. And their length defensively at linebacker is probably as long as I've ever seen, with 6'5", 6'6", linebackers that when they drop into zone coverage, it's not a lot left with them. So offensively, we're not quite sure what the quarterback status will be. Their starter of the year had surgery, and it's 6 weeks now that he's been out, and that's what the original diagnosis said. He could be back as early as 6 weeks, so he could be returning. And then their quarterback last week, Three Hall, left the game with a concussion, so you don't know exactly what's going on with his protocol there. So we're a little uncertain. 16 would be the next guy in, but it seems like we've said that a lot this year about we're kind of uncertain who we're facing quarterback-wise, but this is another one of those times. Really impressed with their two running backs, 4 and 35. 4 is very explosive, very active in the pass game. And then, they got an NFL tight end that's a leading receiver for them, 89. He's really, really good. So it's going to be a great test for us. We should be fairly healthy for this time of the year, and it'll be a great challenge for us to be on national TV and have a chance to elevate our brand.
BYU's the better football team. There's no question about it. BYU's a 17-point favorite in this game, but it's interesting when Hugh Freeze mentions that at the end to elevate their brand, because that's a big thing, I think, here for this Liberty program. They look at BYU as the standard of what they want to become one day, and they're going to look at this as kind of, I think, kind of like a Super Bowl for them. I think this is a huge opportunity, and it's a game that maybe they can spring the upset, because I think with BYU, they should crush Liberty. I really think that, because at the end of the day, Liberty is filled with a roster that's primarily FCS players. That's what it is. I mean, when they're transitioning from the FCS ranks to the FBS level, most of this roster was recruited to be at the FCS level. So you're talking about a glorified FCS team. BYU should roll it up on these guys and win by, I think, 3+ touchdowns. They should win big. And if they don't, that's a little bit concerning, I think, considering how the last two games have fared for BYU these past couple weeks. But again, they're looking at this as a way, Liberty is, to elevate their brand. And Hugh Freeze definitely sees that and discussed the opportunity against taking on BYU and the similarities between the two schools.
It's a huge opportunity, and one that we talked about yesterday, and we'll embrace it. It's you know, I think we've got to put ourselves in a position to where we can get on national TV and play some of the traditional powers that be in college football and be competitive. And this is probably our first one that's really on national TV, I guess. And, you know, what a great opportunity. And, you know, I think our kids understand that. They understand where we are in the spectrum of kind of what the end of this season could look like. It's, we've got difficult games. And it sure would be nice to find a way to win a couple of them.
Liberty's schedule's been pretty much all on ESPN+, so this is a big deal for them to be on ESPNU. And some of the names to keep an eye on with this Liberty team, of course, the quarterback, because they got a good air raid attack that can sling it all over the yard, as I mentioned yesterday. Stephen Buckshot Calvert, he's a senior, led them to a win over Baylor 2 years ago when they were an FCS team. He's got 43 game appearances, 39 career starts in his career. That's pretty impressive. And he's had, get this, 39 consecutive starts. How nice would that be, right? BYU every single week, who's the quarterback going to be? Liberty, they don't have to worry about that. 39 straight games, Buckshot Calvert has been their starting quarterback. And then, of course, their wide receiver, Antonio Gandy-Golden. This guy's going to be an NFL receiver. And it kind of makes me think, too, you know, he's 6'4", 220. He's a senior at Liberty. He's at a school that's got a tougher honor code than BYU. Why did BYU get Gandy-Golden? This guy would have been a stud at BYU. Anyway, they got some explosive players offensively. Defensively, they should give up a lot of points. BYU's offense, regardless of who the quarterback is, and honestly, I expect it to be Baylor Romney. Yesterday at practice, Zach Wilson was in sweats. He wasn't participating from at least what we saw towards the tail end. We don't get to watch practice at all, but he came out of the practice in sweats, wasn't suited up. Jaren Hall wasn't suited up either. He did walk off the field. He was in a green jersey, but I would expect Baylor Romney is going to be the guy. We'll get more insight later this evening from BYU practice as we talk with offensive coaches. But BYU's offense should roll. Their defense for Liberty is not great by any stretch, but one of the notable guys is their rover back, Elijah Benton. He's had 23 starts in his career. And then also defensive end, Jesse Lemonnier, I hope I'm saying that right, redshirt senior, 6'3", 240, really talented player. He could potentially be a NFL guy as well. And it was interesting, too, to hear Hugh Freeze talk about BYU from the offensive side and the defensive side. Really knowledgeable media out there in Lynchburg. I got to give them credit. They knew their stuff on BYU, but it was funny. They were asked about the dropping back eight, because, of course, BYU fans have been kind of annoyed with the defensive dropping back eight and bringing the three-man rush, and this was Hugh Freeze on BYU's defense from what he's seen on film.
Yeah, they're not a big blitz team. They don't have to be. That's not really who they are. Not that they won't try that some, but they're typically a drop seven team. They'll add a fourth guy, add a fifth guy every now and then, but it's more of coverage. And again, the length of those linebackers, it makes it tough on windows to throw in.
Yeah, you can say that again, Hugh, that they're not blitzing very much. BYU's got eight sacks on the season through eight games. So they're not going to be a blitzing type. Now, Liberty, they'll bring the heat. They got some tackles for loss, quite a few to their resume through nine games this season. But again, they're prone to giving up a lot of points. Hey, if Rutgers can put up 44 against these guys, BYU should put up 50. I really think that. They should put up a big number offensively, regardless of who the quarterback is going to be. But, you know, that defense for BYU, a lot's been discussed about that group and just bringing a three-man rush, dropping back eight. And Elisa Tuiaki has acknowledged that, you know, Kalani Sitake has got more involved with the defense since that loss to USF. That was a low point for the program. That loss at USF was a low point for this team. But credit to this entire program to bounce back and respond and not let this season turn into 2017 part two. They've responded with a vengeance, now 4-4 on the season. But I asked Elisa Tuiaki about some of his defensive linemen that are having some recent success, including Uriah Leotau, who was named one of the top defensive players by Pro Football Focus on the week.
Really good job. I think that he's got the tools to be a big-time player. Consistency has been really, really improved lately for him, and I think that he's going to be a good player for us next little bit.
And also, Alden Toth has been getting more third time, and what's he been doing to kind of rise up the temperature?
Yeah, he's been practicing better, you know. There's certain spots where there's always going to be competition, and Alden's been practicing better. And then when we get into the games, it's kind of just by who's playing well and who's making plays. But, you know, as you guys know, we rotate a lot of D linemen, and we've got a lot of guys that have snaps. But like to get some of those younger guys in there just to see what they're doing and how they're playing.
With those defensive linemen, Lorenzo Falatea, Earl Tuioti-Marino, what's their status right now?
Earl's out for the season. He had a season-ending injury, as well as Lorenzo will be back. He's just kind of banged up.
Good updates there from Elisa Tuiaki, BYU defensive coordinator. Yeah, very impressed with Uriah Leotawa, who's moving up the depth chart. A great pass rusher, and it's great to see Uriah having this success, because I think everyone knew when he flipped from Stanford to BYU, everyone knows the story by now. That was a big deal getting him, and he had endless ability. I remember when Bronco Mendenhall signed him, and just the passion, the emotion for, and just kind of praise for Uriah, his family, his upbringing. It was special stuff, and for him to choose BYU over a host of great schools, it was, you wanted to see him have the payoff, and now it's starting to pay off, because that guy battled so many back injuries, and now that he's healthy, he's showing how talented he can be. I like BYU's defensive line, how it's shaping up. I got to say, though, it's not the personnel maybe I was fully expecting at the beginning of the season. I really thought Zach Daw was going to be one of the top guys on this pass rush, but you heard there Alden Tofa starting to move up the depth chart because he's practicing a lot better, and Alden Tofa's a guy that really has got a lot of ability like Uriah Leotawa, and you hope that with Tofa, only a sophomore, remember that. He's still got two more years ahead of him. This confidence maybe that he can build in the last half of this season can maybe give him some momentum, springboard him into the 2020 season, and he could become a difference maker for BYU next year, because you look at the defensive line, they pretty much all return, all of them. The only guy that's a question is Kyrus Tonga. Will he go to the NFL or not? I think he would probably go. Is that the right move? I'm still kind of uneasy about that. I think he still needs maybe one more year to really show the consistency, but hey, he's older and you can't fault the guy if he wants to go get paid, because I do think he's going to be an NFL draft prospect. Another guy that's really done well on the defensive line has been Gabe Summers. Now, Summers, the son of a former BYU football player back in the 90s, redshirt freshman out of Westlake High School. Summers, he got a lot of playing time in that game against Utah State early in the game. First quarter, tone-setting drives, he was involved on that defensive line. Summers has really moved up. So you look at Devin Kafusi, Uriah Leotawa, Summers, Brackenell Bakri, Tofa. Those are kind of the top five defensive ends right now. Guys like Zach Daw, Trajan Peely, they've kind of moving a little bit back, a little bit farther back on the depth chart. In fact, Trajan Peely even tweeted out in a response to Jay Drew from the Deseret News when Jay posted a picture of the depth chart. Trajan wasn't listed on the three deep. And he just tweeted out, interesting. So kind of interesting stuff there coming from BYU's defensive line room. And thanks to Elisa Tuiaki for that commentary. Got to take a timeout, though. On the other side, BYU basketball. Yoli Childs, one of the top players in the country, being recognized on some prominent award watch lists, and recapping BYU's season opening win over Cal State Fullerton. This is the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Harding, front court, left side, right wing, Jake fakes the long three, drives to Connor, to Barcelo for a three, and that's good! Alex Barcelo gives the Cougars a lead, on a left corner three.
What a solid win to open up the BYU basketball season. Cougar Tracks podcast, KSLSports.com. You heard it right there. Alex Barcelo, he was the man of the night for BYU. What a debut for the Arizona transfer. Feeling good about seeing Barcelo out on that court for BYU. He's going to be a huge reason for some of BYU's win. I said it when he got cleared with that waiver. That was a huge, huge deal. People said, oh, they need Richard Harward as the guy that's the waiver. Look, it would be great if they had Big Rich as well. But the thing is that Barcelo is an incredible talent. He's an all-conference guy for BYU, potentially. And I think he could be an all-conference guy in this league. I mean, he's going to be one of the top players in this program. I said it, that he could be, maybe at season's end, the second-best player behind Yoeli Childs on this team. He's got that ability. What an upgrade he has brought to this roster. He looked great on that first night against Cal State Fullerton as BYU comes away with a 76-58 win over the Cal State Fullerton Titans from the Big West Conference. And it was just a good night all around. I mean, good energy in the gym, good energy in the building, BYU fans. Not the greatest turnout, I think, from fans. I think a lot of people still not realizing, quite frankly, that college basketball is here. But hey, The Rock, they showed up in great numbers. BYU student section was there. They were loud and they were proud. And it was just, I thought it was a good night at the Marriott Center as BYU opens up the Mark Pope era with a nice win. And along with Barcelo, TJ Haas. TJ Haas scored 15 of his 17 game points in the second half to lead with Barcelo in scoring as both guys chipped in 17 points each of BYU's 76 points on the night. You know, I looked at the lineup, the starting lineup. They had Barcelo, they had Haas, Jake Toulson, Dalton Nixon, and Colby Lee. Pretty good group. Now, Colby Lee had a little bit of struggles, 5 points. He had the first 3 points of the Mark Pope era in the game. Shot 1 of 3, but it was -4 in the plus-minus. The big impact guys, along with Barcelo, was Connor Harding and Zach Selyus coming off the bench. And Mark Pope is got some high expectations for Connor Harding this season.
So I've been hard on Connor Harding a little bit through the Italy trip and then the first month or 5 weeks of training camp and just trying to get him, talking to him every day. In fact, all summer I was talking about gaining weight, about how he needed to approach this season to be really effective for us. This kid goes and gets 8 more rebounds. So that's back-to-back games, the exhibition game and this game where he's had 8 rebounds. That's just so huge. We so desperately need that physical effort from him. And then he's owning every shot. You know, that's what we talk about on our team is – we don't evaluate our shots so much by whether they go in or not. We evaluate them by whether you own them. And he's owning every shot. Every shot he's completely committed to. And he's staying there with his follow through and finishing every shot. And the fun side of that today is he comes in and goes 3 for 4 from 3 for us. And it was really good and really kind of got us going a little bit with some movement and space and making some shots in the first half. Connor was great tonight. And as he becomes more and more physical, wait till he puts on 15 more pounds next year, right? He's going to be a massive problem to be reckoned with. And we need him this year to play that role, and he's done a great job so far.
Harding's the wild card for this BYU basketball team. If this good season, which, again, I think it's a 20-win team right now, I think there's going to be some tough games. There was moments in that second half that just didn't look great. It wasn't the biggest thing of beauty, I think, if you want to call it that, for BYU in that second half against Fullerton. But still, Harding's going to be a guy that can maybe turn a good team into a special team if he nightly is a consistent contributor, because you can see a leap in his game. Last year, he kind of hit a little bit of a missionary true freshman wall, and that's to be expected. You come back from serving the Lord for 2 years, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints mission, that has a toll on you, and it's tough to navigate a long college basketball season. So Harding showed out well. Of course, Barcelo, as I mentioned, he was great. This was Pope on the Arizona transfer's debut.
Yeah, he's really good, man. The thing about Ox is really interesting that helps us so much is that he's so physical off the bounce. What I mean by that is a lot of times when you're driving, guys can kind of body you up and move you off your driving line, right? But he doesn't. You can't move him. He's just so physical and tough. And he's just such a beautiful compliment to TJ in that sense, because TJ is kind of slight and light and clever, and but TJ's not really a physical presence in that sense on the offensive or defensive side. He's more going to trick you and outspeed you and herky-jerk you, right? And so those guys have a little yin and yang personality in the backcourt that is going to be hugely important for us. And the same thing on the defensive end, right? TJ's got some length and some cleverness, and on the defensive end, Al is just like a bulldog, right? And so they work really well together and allow us to do a lot of different things. They're good. They're going to be really good partners together.
I like that yin and yang comment there from Mark Pope. A lot of fun. Going to be interesting to see how TJ Haas and Barcelo continue to grow with this team. That's a good backcourt. I mean, imagine this team without Barcelo. Whew. I don't want to picture that. I mean, I still think they would have won last night. Don't get me wrong. But the challenge ahead coming up against San Diego State would have been a lot tougher. Those challenges against the Maui Invitational, against UCLA, potentially Kansas, that would have been a lot tougher without Alex Barcelo. And another guy, too, that Mark Pope and staff brought on board was Jake Toulson. And Toulson was a little bit off offensively. He had an impact in other areas of the game, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. What a good passer, too. You could just see it. That guy's willing and capable of making that extra pass to his teammates. But, you know, Pope, when he was asked about Jake's offensive struggles, he kind of put the blame on his shoulders in terms of on Coach Pope.
It just happens sometimes. You know, the ball got a little sticky with Jake. And part of that is – just kind of like continuing, like we're still trying to figure so many things out offensively. I feel like, and we've talked about this the last week or so, I feel like we at least have a clear picture of who we are defensively. Whether we can actually execute that will still remain to be seen. But in terms of who we are offensively, we're still kind of throwing stuff against the wall and seeing how it fits with our comfort zone. We've had all kind of different lineups that actually really, really affect us in terms of what we think we can do offensively. Every time we have a lineup change, it kind of changes a little bit of what we think we have strengths at. And so a lot of Jake's stickiness tonight was my fault, right? Because we're still searching a little bit offensively.
Good stuff there from Mark Pope. Again, BYU 1-0 on the season now. Going to be taking on San Diego State, an old Mountain West Conference rival, coming up on Saturday. Tip-off is at 2, network coverage at 1 o'clock. And again, Cougar Sports Saturday gets things rolling on KSL News Radio at high noon from 12 to 1. Myself, Matt Biamonte, will take you up to network coverage. Going to take one more time out here on the podcast. And then finally, we'll close this thing out with some of my favorite moments in the history of BYU football in celebration of CFB 150. November 6, 1869, 150 years ago today, as of the recording of this podcast, college football was born. Rutgers and Princeton. How crazy is that? That Rutgers, how terrible they are. They were part of the first game ever in the history of college football. 150 years of the sport, our favorite sport on earth. Everyone loves college football, and especially BYU football here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. Wanted to share some of my favorite moments in BYU football history, and I'll reel them off real quick because we're up against it here. 1980, SMU, BYU Holiday Bowl, the Miracle Bowl, BYU's first bowl win. It's an all-timer. The Pony Express, I'm telling you, like that SMU team, they just don't build teams anymore like that. I mean, Dickerson, Craig James, you kidding me? I mean, and then they had that McElnaney or whatever his name was at quarterback. They were legit. We talk about a lot of these teams in the college football playoff rankings, and you go, like, okay, Ohio State's great. LSU's legit. But everyone else, they go, okay, like, I guess. Like, they got good talent, sure, but I don't know. It's just, like, the sheer, like, superhero feel of some of those guys back then. It was just off the charts. Big win. 1984 national championship, no doubt. I mean, the fact that BYU got that national title is amazing. But the problem is that BYU getting that national title ended up creating the alliance, creating the BCS, creating the playoff, basically. So in the long run, did it work out for BYU? I don't know. I don't know. But, man, it's pretty sweet to say BYU got a national title. Ty Detmer, Heisman Trophy, that's pretty sweet, too. I mean, that can't ever be taken away from this BYU football program. Ty, he's an all-timer. Man, I would love to see him back to BYU in some capacity. What would that be? I don't know. I would love him to be a special advisor to the school in some capacity, because there is no finer human being associated with BYU than Ty Detmer. Next would probably be Kalani Sitake. So, great men there at BYU. 2009 Oklahoma. Man, that was a special win. Number 3, Oklahoma. BYU takes them down. One of the best defensive performances I've ever seen from a BYU football team. 1996 Cotton Bowl. And then, I'm going to say, for a recent game, 2019 USC. That was pretty sweet. Taking down the USC Trojans. I know it's Clay Helton. He's probably going to get canned. He should be canned already, for goodness sake. But in that moment, that was a huge win for BYU. Didn't really translate to much the weeks after, because they got rolled by Washington and then lost to Toledo, then lost to USF. But still, BYU's bounced back now. In that moment, that was pretty fun to see the fans on the field. Like, it was kind of just this breakout game that BYU just hadn't had in Provo in so long. It's just been so long since BYU football had a big win in front of the home fans. That was pretty cool. So that's the recent memory. But that's my favorite moments for BYU football in honor of CFB150. Tweet at me, @Mitch_Harper, and share your favorite moments of Cougar football. Use #CougarTracks. And also, subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google Play, Spotify. Leave a rating and a review. It helps out the show a ton. We'll be back tomorrow talking more with the BYU quarterback situation, getting more in-depth into the BYU versus Liberty matchup. Should be having a Liberty insider onto the podcast to preview the game, and obviously the latest with BYU basketball as well as they continue preparations for the Aztecs from Montezuma Mesa. It's not Jimmer versus Kawhi, but we can say now it's Barcelo and who knows who else Aztecs got on their roster. I don't know. I got to look at the roster. That basketball, they just got so many crazy changes all the time. I got to look it up. But we'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.